Welcome to the Bev Boys Basketball Broadcast, where we talk Bevs, basketball, and anything else, really. We're the three guys. I'm Tyler, and tonight we have Nick.
Hey.
And Alvin.
Hi. Hello.
Hello, hello. Welcome, guys. Excited to be here. It's been a little bit. I'd say we just get right into it with the Bevs. Alvin, what kind of Bev are you drinking tonight, man?
All right. So I use this as my opportunity to taste things that I haven't used before or like haven't tasted before. So I've got another lychee bev. It's called Yogu Time.
Ooh.
It's like pinkish. It says on the back, anytime is Yogu Time right there.
What is Yogu?
Yogurt? It's yogurt flavored drink. That's what it says right here.
I didn't know yogurt was a flavor. I thought yogurt was a kind of food.
Yeah, but it's a drink flavored by yogurt as well as lychee. It says yogurt flavored drink. Flavored.
So to be clear, the drink is yogurt flavor, or it's just like a yogurt like
flavored by yogurt.
I'm so confused.
Flavored by yogurt. I think it's high fructose corn syrup with yogurt in there enough to give it a yogurty-ish, I mean like a light yogurt consistency while still being drinkable. More to the drink side than the go-gurt side. And then there's some lychee flavoring in there too.
Interesting.
So, yeah,
player. Give it a whirl.
Yeah.
How is it?
Going in.
Grip it and rip it, dude.
Ooh. Nice satisfying click.
Was it a pop or a click?
The pop.
Little, better be a pop. Good, well, I don't know. I'm in Brooklyn, so I don't pop. There's
all right. Well,
that's some good Larry David humor for those who don't know the reference. Okay, moving along.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
It goes down smooth.
Not as smooth as you'd like. It's got kind of like if you've ever tried to drink yogurt. Where it like, I mean, it's just like a little bit too viscous, you know, and it sticks in some places.
Mm. Yogurt's too like, thick to drink.
Yeah, I mean, this is not yogurty, right? It's it is very liquidy. It's not at all viscous, but it sticks around kind of like yogurt. I like it. I mean, it's a little bit, I think it's probably too sweet for me to get normally, as most of these other drinks have been, but. Yeah, my man.
So. Okay, shout out Yogu Time. Nice find.
Yeah, Yogu Time. I'll take a sponsorship if you want to hook it up. I'll take anything really.
Bev Boys Basketball Broadcast brought to you by Yogu Time. I like it.
It has a nice ring to it. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Yogurt flavored drink.
Whatever that means. Okay.
Whatever that means. Yeah.
All right, Nicholas.
All right, so your boy's been getting back in shape, you know, working out a lot, whatever. Got to have.
Let me guess, it's a bang. Is it a bang?
No.
Oh, is it a Fit Aid?
No, no Fit Aids, no bangs. No, this is post workout stuff I'm talking about. Right now. I need a little protein. Let my muscles recover. So I saw this, and it's a little Koya protein, little plant based protein drink here from cacao bean. A little almond action, some vanilla, some plant proteins. So yeah, kind of piqued my interest. So I figured give it a little.
Does it have the consistency of milk? Like, is it thicker?
This tastes straight up like Nesquik. I'm not even joking. This is actually super good.
How much sugar is in that thing?
4 grams. So like hardly
that's
any.
It
dog, this like legit tastes just like Nesquik. Oh my god, this damn. Is so good.
Did you get that from Whole Foods?
7-Eleven, son.
Bruh, what kind of bougie 7-Eleven are you at? First
it's across the street from my apartment.
That's that F65 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Comes in clutch. They actually have a pretty like strangely wide range of like random drinks and shit like that. So it's come in clutch once or twice for these podcasts, so as it did today.
Cool.
So yeah, Koya protein, Shout out Koya Protein. This is freaking delicious. 18 grams of protein. It's good stuff for that post-recovery that we all need when we're trying to get in shape.
You said 18 grams of protein? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Super. So one thing I will say is I think I've seen this at Whole Foods and I didn't cop it. I might have to cop next time.
It's super good. Yeah, I'm like shocked There's, how tasty this is.
The one that I saw was a cinnamon horchata or something like that. Or they some had, sort of horchata.
They had a couple different flavors there.
Which really appeals to me.
Yeah.
You can always, it doesn't have to be December to drink horchata.
Does not.
Nice Vampire Weekend reference. Shout out Vampire I like that.
Millennial shit, you know. Yeah.
You know.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll go next. I just went with a little mate, which is actually tereré. I went with the unsweetened traditional. This is the kind of stuff I drank every day when I was in Brazil as a missionary and just kind of was missing it. So
just like
nothing
like,
too crazy.
But. Tastes like grass, basically.
This stuff, it doesn't really taste like the stuff I had in Brazil, honestly. It's like kind of sour. That's a letdown. I thought this could be good because this is like the same brand.
What do you look for in mate usually? What kind of flavors are you seeking out?
It's I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, Nick said it. It's supposed to taste like grass. Yeah, it's not
very good. I don't get it. People love it. I don't get it. Like it it's legit just it's like dirt water. That's what it tastes like.
When it's 120 degrees outside and you're in the Amazon rainforest, it just tastes right. That's all I can say. Like, it's just what you're supposed to drink.
That's a no for me, dog.
So, I don't know. This is a bummer, though. I do like in the south of Brazil where it's colder, they'll do, like, hot mate, and they call it chimarrão. And they
that's,
put it
that's
with,
what
they,
I've had.
They drink it with honey, and that's pretty good. Like, if you have, like, a sore throat, that's always the go-to. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving right along. Well, post All-Star break, and now it's basically the trade deadline's in a week. Rumors are swirling, and we got a lot of big names that could potentially be on the move to a different team. Just a couple of names to throw out, and if any of these kind of stand out to you guys, let's just go ahead and talk about them. We've got Kyle Lowry, Nikola Vucevic, LaMarcus Aldridge, Victor Oladipo, John Collins, Alvin's favorite, Ricky Rubio.
Rubio!
Aaron Gordon and Spencer Dinwiddie. Any one of those guys in particular you guys want to talk about? Or have any particular hot takes on?
I kind of dig the Kyle Lowry to Miami kind of thing. I think that would be kind of cool.
Just got that big $30 million contract. That's tough to match.
And they just moved Myers Leonard as well.
RIP.
Taken up
Myers Leonard.
I have there's no space for anti-Semitism in this podcast. And I'm sorry. What's his wife's name? Ellie Leonard.
Oh who, yeah,
like, I don't know.
She's made her mark as like a Twitter influencer as a basketball player's wife. She seems cool. Pretty cool, but
yeah, she's dope.
You don't get to say what you said like without having to re-examine everything that got you to that point. So
what an idiot.
Yeah.
Hey, but Ariza to the Heat, that's kind of a nice pickup, even though he's hella washed. But
that's still just good depth. Like he can still just to have him there can make a big difference when they actually, now that they're starting to play better again in the playoffs, that could make a big difference for them.
There were like rumors, like it was kind of like Hoodie Mello type stuff where he wasn't on a team and he was just working out and putting him on Instagram. Like Trevor Ariza was doing that like into the All-Star break where it's just videos of him working out and it's, I guess it got him the trade that he needed, you know?
Good for him, man.
Well, he was with OKC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not trying to
play. Yeah. There's yeah, no he point. Was not at all.
He pulled a Iguodala.
Yeah, I don't I'm curious to see how much Trevor Ariza has left in him.
I think this is it.
Yeah, I'm sure he could do some spot minutes, go in, play some defense for, you know, 5-10 minutes a game or something like that, just fine.
Shoot some threes.
Yeah, yeah. He still has good size, so.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to try it. I think they're hoping that he, like, fills in the Jay Crowder role, which I'm kind of bummed that they didn't try harder to keep him.
Yeah.
That was such a bad move. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, you chose Myers Leonard over him. What kind of crap is that, dude? Like,
yeah, anti-Semitism, like, separate, like, that's still not it.
Yeah, like, Myers Leonard just wasn't very good anyways. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Like,
DeMarcus Cousins can vouch for that. Like,
yeah, it's getting
really ridiculous. I was waiting for that comment. You know, Boogie's so happy that his ass is out.
Oh my gosh.
Classic.
Boogie, ridiculous. If you ever want to be on the pod,
let us know.
Yeah, you can crown us as much as I'm not sure if Kyle Lowry gets traded going back to Miami.
That contract is just kind of rough.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if I will look at the trade machine all that much here, but I also just feel like he could totally stay in Toronto if he wanted to. Like, who, I guess the question is, who goes first, Kyle Lowry or Masai Ujiri, right? Like,
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think so?
I don't think that the Raptors would re-sign him. I think he needs to just go somewhere else. Like, if he still wants to play and chase another ring, he's just got to leave Toronto. And Toronto needs to rebuild anyway. So I think it's time to move on after this season.
Yeah, I feel like Masai Ujiri is like, he only leaves because he wants to go transform some other team or something like that. I can't imagine Toronto being like, oh yeah, we're not really feeling you anymore. Like,
that would be insane.
I just can't see a world where that happens.
But Kyle's like 35. Yeah, so,
exactly.
You know,
he's got another couple years in him. Sure. John Collins, I don't think he gets traded either. I think they hold on to him and see what happens in restricted free agency for him. They're playing so well right now.
They're finally.
That's because Bogdanovich is back.
Yeah, they're finally getting guys healthy again, so they can actually play.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
The thing I was going to say is I think it's players being healthy, but I think it's just that Nate McMillan is coaching them better than Lloyd Pierce did. Sorry, yeah. Lloyd Pierce, great guy, you know, but the way the players talk about Nate McMillan, it shows that there was a void that he is filling in that Lloyd Pierce wasn't doing as good of a job at.
So. The Athletic came out with like an article like right after he got fired that kind of like explained that whole situation, and it just didn't seem like it was like that was like that needed to happen basically. Like none of the players were about it. None of them had faith in him, and he wasn't really listening to like any of them. So it was just like he needed to go. But
yeah,
I kind of dig the Oladipo to New York trade.
What is that trade? I'm not
I mean it's yeah, not, I'm not really sure. It's like, just the rumor that he was like, yo, let me come play with you guys, and there's been a couple rumors that maybe they're interested in him. But I mean, like, Manuel Quickly just got his first start and he's been killing it. I just don't see why you'd want another guard to take any of his minutes. Like, that would just be insane,
especially when they just trade for Derrick Rose too.
Oh, I forgot that they just got Derrick Rose.
You know, Tibbs is going to get his guy back every time, man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I hope Quickly becomes a Thibodeau guy. Like 10 years from now, when Thibodeau is like coaching another team and he trades for Quickly, I think that would be awesome. Anyways.
Yeah. I want to see like a big name player go to the Knicks. Like, that would just be cool. Like,
One person I didn't put on this list was Julius Randle. I don't think the Knicks would want to trade him, but I mean, do you guys see him as a long-term like staple on the Knicks, or do you think they should capitalize and try to get any kind of value out of him right now while it's high?
I think if they can get a star out of it, or like a big player or something like that, or like a young kind of star out of it, then they would do it. Because it's just kind of like, do you genuinely think that Randall can play this way for like the rest of his career for the next few years or whatever? Like, I don't know. But it's like, you can capitalize on that right now and maybe finally get a like an actual legitimate star going to the Knicks, which would be nuts.
Nick, I thought you were going to be like a bigger Julius Randle stan here. What happened?
I've always kind of dug Julius Randle, but I don't know. I just kind of, when did he get drafted? It was a good while ago. It was like years ago.
2014. Well, he was in the Wiggins, yeah. Embiid, Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum. Nick Stauskas.
Dude's our age. Dude is 20. Julius Randle's like, 26.
Yeah. I think he's like just entering his prime.
Why? I thought he was like older for some reason.
I think that's the same thing with like Harrison Barnes. Everyone thinks he was older than he is. Yeah, like everyone thinks true. He's like 31 and he's 28 or 29. Like,
feels like, yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I always thought he was like older for some reason. But I guess that's kind of a good point. I might keep him around, honestly.
I would keep him around.
Yeah, depends on like, sure. What's his contract like right now?
It's not bad. He's got like 2 years left. He's getting paid like $20 million a year. Like, it's honestly a pretty good contract for an all-star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he has stubby arms. But
he does have stubby arms.
He's got no wingspan.
You can just bully people, though. Yeah, I'd keep him at that point. Yeah, that's actually pretty solid now that you kind of got me thinking about it. Yeah. I would just see if you can, which I would think, like, because not only is the team playing solid basketball, but like you can see a culture building there, the front office, the coach, like everything's setting up properly to where it's like, maybe now an all-star might be like, oh wait, that would actually be kind of cool to go play in New York, like at Madison Square Garden. Like, yeah, what the hell? So
it's an interesting core. I mean, they have Quickly, Randall, Mitchell Robinson, and who's the other guy? RJ Barrett. You know, like, Obi, it's an Toppin. Interesting core. And Obi Toppin. That's true.
Obi.
He hasn't done Obi. Very much this year. But I mean, if they got an all-star wing, like,
yeah,
it's not a horrible team. They could, you know.
I mean, they're like good. The number four seed in the East right now.
That's so crazy.
The East is such garbage. They got like three good
teams.
They're
sixth in the East right now. They have a 500 record.
It's so nice to see like videos of like Knicks fans who are just like rejoicing. They're just like, oh my God, our team is good. Like, they like,
we're mediocre.
Yeah, like, they're just happy to see something good, remotely good.
Not they can only take the paper bags off.
Yeah. And not only are they mediocre, but they play hard.
Yeah, which is dope. And that fits.
Like, they even in losses, they're like keeping it close.
Right up in there.
Which, yeah. I would die for that. Well, I wouldn't die for it, but I would
be gladly so welcome happy. It. Yes.
they deserve it.
I still wish they could have drafted Zion. That would have been so cool to get a Zion jersey in New York.
With like Zion and Randall. How would that look together?
Sick. It would look freaking dope.
Would it work?
Randall at the five or Zion at the three?
I don't know if it would work, but yeah, I don't really care. I think that would be hella fun to watch.
But like, yeah, I don't know if it'd work, but that'd be sick. But I mean, RJ Barrett's dope too.
Is Randall just like the next Z-Bo? Like, is that kind of...
No, he's got. I think he's got a different game. He can do more than, like, he can actually like handle the ball and somewhat shoot threes.
He is their offense. Like, he starts and the offense goes through him. Like,
they need to get somebody who can score because like their defense is like number one, but their offense is poo poo.
Yeah, the RJ needs to step up next year. He's got to take a leap. I think.
I think he'll get there. I think he's playing better. they expected a bit of a leap, and he's playing better. He's playing consistently well.
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know if he'll ever be an all-star, but he's solid.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
All right. Enough Marcus... Knicks talk. This is not a Knicks podcast.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's
cool. Do you have an allegiance as a recent transplant? Do you lean towards one side over the other between Brooklyn and New York?
Here's the funny part. So we all were big Nets fans back in the day before they were good, when who's their GM?
Sean Marks.
Sean Marks. We were all big Sean Marks fans, right? We all wished that Vlade was making the moves that he was making, because it was like these cool like moves to get second round picks and like D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of like making this island of lost toys turn into like a cool little team that somehow was decent.
It was very Oakland.
And then they traded, what's that?
Very Oakland A's-esque.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It felt very familiar. And then they traded for Durant and for Kyrie and for Harden. And it was just like, I don't want to root for this team anymore.
Yeah.
It just kind of ruined it for me. And as much as I want to be a Knicks fan, I just don't know what to root for yet. So I'm kind of like, I want to be a Knicks fan, but I need something. I can't have two bad teams. I can't be a Knicks and a Kings fan. You know, like, that's just too much grief.
Oh my gosh.
So maybe if the Knicks make the playoffs next year, I'll be like, yeah, I'll be a Knicks fan. But I can't be a Nets fan.
I'm getting Alec Burks Knicks jersey.
Oh, no.
How fun would that be?
He was both so a bad King and Kings.
A
Knick.
That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
All right. Here's, going back to trades, here's one that I thought was interesting. It was like Ricky Rubio, a first, and maybe a young player for Aaron Gordon. Alvin, you're the Rubio fan here. What do you think about that trade?
I get that they're looking for a four. I get that. I'm not convinced that is the four that they're looking, that they should be looking for, but I don't know who else that would be.
Well, they want Collins, which I don't get at all.
Because he's talented.
But it's like, let's just get even worse at defense. Like, how bad can we be at defense?
Yeah. I mean, if they can make it happen, I don't see why not. Like, if y'all are ready, I have so much to talk about with the Timberwolves. But one of the things in the last 10 games, well, I'm not going to go too far into it, but like Ricky Rubio, basically since D'Lo has been out and since they got Chris Finch as their new coach, which is like the last 10 games, I think 11 games, 45% from the floor, 37% from three, 90% free throw shooting, 8 assists to 2 turnovers in 32 minutes per game.
This is Ricky Rubio?
This is Ricky Rubio.
Wow.
Like before that, he was shooting 17% on catch and shoot threes.
Yikes.
Jeez.
But here's the thing, is that in years prior, so all his last year in Minnesota and his years in Utah, he's shooting 38% from three on the catch and shoot. So consistent.
Yeah. He wasn't decent. Bad.
42% in Phoenix, and then he goes to Minnesota and he plays, shoots 17%, among other things. He also had that whole thing where he's just like, I'm paraphrasing this, but he's just like, we suck. I hate playing. He didn't say I hate playing here, but he just was very clearly unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, because the team wasn't very good. But since then, since the new coach, he's been playing super well. And one of the reasons I was pretty high on Minnesota going into the season just because I thought Ricky Rubio would be a stabilizing force as someone who like has like a track record of like stabilizing teams from Utah to Phoenix, especially in the bubble run and playing with young guards who like need the ball and doing a good job. Like I thought that would be good, as well as like being a positive locker room presence, someone who's already been in Minnesota, who knows the area, knows the fans, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I still think he has potential to do that. And I think it's important to have a strong, reliable point guard as you go through a rebuild, especially when you have like Anthony Edwards that you're trying to build up and that type of thing, you know? So
here's the question though. I mean, you have D'Lo, Edwards, and Rubio. I mean, they're all three of them probably should be starters in Minnesota. So I feel like one of them's got to go. And Rubio just seems like the odd man out. Like, wouldn't you agree? You might as well just trade him while his stock is high and then just get D'Lo and Edwards going.
My take, especially with the emergence of Anthony Edwards, like this since Chris Finch has been coach, is that you trade Malik Beasley.
I forgot about him. That's right. So they have four guys that can start for them.
Yeah. Don't forget Jared Culver too, who hasn't played at all. The Kings should trade for him. I'll say that, but
I wouldn't hate it.
Give him a bag of chips. Yeah, I'll do that all day.
What do you give up for Culver? What is he making? Like $8 million? Send Bielitsa back to Minix.
Bielitsa in a second. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah,
I would do that.
Sure.
Yeah, heartbeat.
Bielitsa is pissed, but oh well.
Sorry, Nemanja.
Sorry, Bielitsa. Like,
yeah. Anyways, that's my take. I would try and trade Malik Beasley over Rubio right now, just because I think I really believe this is not me being like a Rubio stan. This is like my belief in the power of like a decent veteran point guard.
Yeah.
And its ability to stabilize the team.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Suns. Like,
yeah. And look at the Suns last year too with Rubio. Good. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And look at the Jazz. With Rubio and Donovan Mitchell, like as a coming into his own and everything, like. So, that's my take. If Malik Beasley might even be more appealing to Orlando as well, seeing as they already have Michael Carter Williams and Markel Fultz
and Cole Anthony,
Anthony.
The question is Beasley a sixth man or is he a starter? I think he probably should be a sixth man. He's not getting paid a ton. Dude scores like crazy. Probably shouldn't be a starter, in my opinion. I don't know.
I think he's a sixth man on a great team.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's go get buckets type of thing. Like he was like a couple years ago in –
In Denver,
he was not playing enough minutes. I think he was getting like under 20 and he probably should have been getting mid 20s per game. But I think that's kind of that ideal role where he can come in, get buckets, shoot threes,
Lou Williams role.
Someone if he needs to, or like lead an offense in a pinch, you know, I think he can do all that acceptably.
Will be interesting to see what Mini does. They have a lot of pieces they can move around. That's for sure. We'll have to get Henry in on the podcast, get his takes,
and
just hear him gripe.
That would be. I mean, hey, I don't know. Based on, I mean, they end up with the first pick this year. They get Cade Cunningham. Like, you get Cade Cunningham, Anthony Edwards, and Big Cat as your big three. Like, that's pretty cool, man.
Here's the thing, though. They're at risk of losing the pick if it falls out of the top three or four or whatever, because it's owed to the Warriors. That was part of the D'Lo trade.
So if their pick falls out of the top three.
Top three or four. Yeah, it goes to San Francisco.
Man. I doubt that happens. Like, I highly doubt it, but God, dude, that would just be like heartbreaking.
Nightmare.
That would be just like the absolute like worst case scenario for any team.
Could you imagine Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley or someone going to the Warriors?
if it's outside of the top three or four, they'd probably get like
that's right,
Kuminga or Jalen Green or something like that, which would still be sick next to like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. Oh my God.
That'd be so unfair.
Yeah,
they would essentially be able to rebuild immediately after those guys are gone because they would already have these top young guys.
Well, I guess that's the question, right? Like Klay Thompson, assuming he comes back at even like 90% of what he was, as well as Steph next to him, like do you play like young players that need to learn and develop next to them, or do you trade for players who need to make sense? Like James Wiseman hasn't. Yeah, I would trade. Absolutely. I would try and get players who are going to contribute now. Like
another borderline all-star.
I think what you do is you package those assets with Draymond Green, get his ass out of there, and just try to get some kind of all-star back.
How much is he making?
He is bad.
A lot. I'm a Draymond believer still.
He's making $25 million plus for the next like 3 years, and he's scoring 7 points a game. Like,
but he's never his impact has never been scoring.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who will get a quadruple, like he'll get like 8 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 8 steals, or 8 blocks, or some shit like that. Like, but like he impacts the game in so many ways, and like they still play through him a lot. And then defensively, like he can still be somebody who can hold it down.
I don't remember what his statistics are, and I don't have it up. I think he's averaging like 8.5 assists per game or something like that right now.
I think I saw something like that. Like he's one of the top assist guys right now.
Plus, like, I think it was like 8.5 assists, like 6 or 7 boards, and like 2 steals and a block per game, and then like 4 points a game. Like
I would still probably, if you're trying to win a championship again with them, if you're trying to run it back as soon as Klay Thompson comes back, I would keep those three together still and just try to get one more guy. Because if you keep those three together, you have that core from the championship days who already know how to do it, and you just add somebody else on top of that who can give you more scoring that Draymond's not going to give you, then you're golden.
Basically. And Dre's the kind of player where he's just elevated by the players around him. Oh, right. Yeah. Like I kind of picture like Tyrese Haliburton in a lot of ways will be similar. Like when he gets better players around him, himself will be able to do like really awesome things that he's already flashing right now, but can do with consistency.
Yeah.
I don't know. The contract is big. The $25 million a year is big.
That's a bummer.
They're an expensive team, like outlandishly expensive.
Yeah, I think they're going to be that way for a while. And I think the ownership is cool with that.
So. Yeah, I mean.
But yeah, I guess.
That's the thing is all those guys, like their style of play, they ages very well. Like Klay Thompson has to get open and shoot spot up threes like and never dribble the ball. Like yeah, like none of them really, like they can keep playing the way they've been playing for the next few years like no problem, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder about their defense slowing down though, like all those guys are so banged up, you know.
Yeah, but that's why like
defend the other guys.
That's why getting like a James Wiseman was a good pick for them, because he could potentially become like that defensive anchor, and you have freaking Draymond Green as his veteran, like teaching him how to do shit. That's so cool, man. Like I've seen so many like videos like of games this year where like Draymond just like pulls him aside and is like coaching him on shit. And I'm just like, if we could have had that for like Marvin Bagley, like how sick would that be, man? How much
different how good would Bagley have been?
He would be a completely different player.
Yeah. I would have loved to see Zebo around for longer for that reason.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Al Horford would be cool too.
Yeah. Not at the price that he got, but I wanted Al Horford to teach like Giles and Bagley like how to be a good.
I was pretty pro, like before he went to the Thunder, I was pretty pro like trade for Horford in like a pick or something like that. For that
was reason. It Buddy?
It might Buddy have been Heald, yeah, for like Al Horford in a first or something like that. Yeah. Like I would have been totally down for that, for the specific reason of like to have him coach up Bagley and teach him how to play. And then we get a first out of it too, which is cool.
Well, speaking of Kings trades, should we get into the ones that we got rumored?
It's about that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for some Kings talk.
So we should probably preface this first by saying that there are rumors that Vivek Ranadive does not want to trade Buddy Hield and Harrison Barnes,
yeah,
unless it's like an overwhelming deal, right? Like,
yeah, I was seeing some stuff about that, and I've listened to some other like Kings podcasts and read some other articles, and a lot of people are kind of saying that there's a good chance that a good portion of that is kind of like smoke and mirrors kind of stuff. They're trying to just play hardball to get a better deal.
Yeah. At that price.
Yeah. Yep. Just to try to make people get a little bit more desperate for one of those guys.
And it's the right move. They have nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
We're already losing with these veterans. So
yeah,
if we keep them, fine. If we don't, then let's get as much as we can. Yeah.
Although I honestly don't see Buddy Hield getting traded right now. I could see it like in the off season, but right now, it just from everything I've seen, it just looks like his value is not great right now. Although he is starting to play a little bit better the last couple of games.
Dude lit it up tonight, 6 for 13 from three.
Love it.
Yeah, I love to see it. One of my favorite things, I said this in the group chat, one of my favorite things to see just in general is a Buddy Hield pull up three and swish.
Yeah.
In transition.
Nice transition.
In transition. That's like classic. He's going up the left side. Fox is going right down the middle, and Fox just throws it to him pretty casually, and he just like, pulls up.
Just yeets it from like cross court, like side of the. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So for the month of March, Buddy is scoring 20 points a game, 45% from the field, 40% from three, 4.5 threes out of 11 attempts, 100% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
5 rebounds, 4 assists a game. Yeah, he's killing it. Yeah, this is the Buddy Hield we've been
this month,
wondering where the hell happened to him.
Yeah. I've noticed that watching the last few games, like he's starting to make his shots again and kind of figure his stuff out. And I think just like having Bagley out, which sucks, but having Halliburton in there instead, like opens up a lot for him. And then you have another guy who can find him and get him open looks. And just like the offense is probably way more fluid. Like just everything about it is going to help him play better, which is good because then his value will get back up to where it was before.
Yeah. And this is the closing lineup that we've been using the whole season. That's been so good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to see it out there more is definitely going to help Buddy because Bagley, he's kind of a black hole. You know, he's not quite Scalabissier status, but you know,
he's getting better this year.
He's getting better.
Consistently improved, but he's still not the most fluid player. That's for sure. But yeah, I don't see Buddy getting traded right now, probably in the off season, but not right now. Pretty much just Harrison Barnes and Bielitsa.
Yeah, Buddy's gonna have to get his value up higher before anyone's like willing to take a chance on his contract.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I would love to keep him as a six man, but I don't think he's gonna go for that, and he's not being paid like a six man, so who knows. Hopefully we can get something for him.
Buddy is 6'4" and 220. I had no idea he was that
big.
He's
a strong guy.
Yeah, he's a bulky dude.
Yeah. I knew I thought he was like 205 or something like that.
Oh no, he's
That's
if you follow him like on Instagram and stuff, like in the off season, you see his workouts. Dude, his workouts are nuts.
He's a gym rat.
He's like
standing
on a trampoline, doing like battle ropes and like bouncing, like he just does crazy shit. Like he is in such good shape and like he takes care of himself so well. He's a beast.
That's why I don't get why he's not a better defender. Like he's so strong and athletic. It's just on his head. He just doesn't know how to do it, but it's just like, he's got the physical tools to do it. I don't know.
I don't think he has very good like lateral quickness. Like he's not a naturally athletic dude. Like you watch him like try to go for like a dunk or anything. Like he's a rim grazer. Like he barely gets up there. Like he's not an athletic dude. He's in shape, but he's not athletic. Those are two.
He's fast is what I meant to say. Like he's a fast player.
Yeah. Those are two. Yeah. Two different
in transition. Yeah. Go ahead, Dalvin.
Oh, I think he's fast in the sense that he like maximizes everything he has. He's going at like 90% of what he can do all the time, and most players who keep up are probably doing like 60-70. I don't know. I relate to that. I don't know. Like that's something that I love. I don't know. Go ahead, Tyler.
I was gonna say I did notice Jaylen Brown just totally blow past Buddy Hield on the wing a few times tonight, just totally get mixed and he just got lost. Got lost in Jaylen Brown's sauce, and it was pretty hard to watch. So
Yeah.
I think a little bit of that is still just like defensive awareness. Like, I don't know how much more he can improve on that. Like, he's 28 at this point. Like,
but yeah, this is probably what he's. Yeah. Yeah. He's not going to randomly just get more athletic out of nowhere and like all of a sudden be much more aware. I just don't. Yeah. What you're seeing right now is probably what you're going to get for the rest of his career defensively. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's fine. As if you can get Buddy playing the right way, then you can live with like whatever defense he can provide you right now. As long as you've got other guys around him that can.
Yeah. That's why it makes sense on like the Sixers, because they have such good defenders around him. He can just be himself and not worry about the defense.
Yeah, he would be great on the Sixers.
So good.
As much as that pains me to say.
I would love it. I would love to see Buddy succeed. He's worked so hard and he's suffered with the Kings. Like, go get those W's, Buddy. Even though you kind of had a bad attitude a little bit, but go get it.
I have a friend who's just irate every time Buddy Hield is mentioned in a trade. And it's for those reasons. They just want to see him succeed, but he wants to see him succeed here in Sacramento. I'm just like, dude, I want to see him succeed too. I just am not sure if this is the place. I love Buddy Hield. Like, he's great.
He cooks. It's so fun to watch when he's just draining threes. You know, it's like, yes.
When he's happy in general.
Oh, it's great.
It's one of the best things.
It's contagious. It's
Yeah.
If you could somehow, like, in some fantasy world, restructure his contract and he was totally cool with being a sixth man.
Oh,
he would be
keeping forever.
Perfect. Yeah, I would never let him go. But that's just that is not the case.
What would you pay him right now? Like $15 million a year? Like, or like what Malik Beasley is getting paid or something? Mid teens.
I'd pay him like the Bogdanovich contract.
Yeah, I was gonna 18. Say like 17, 18, that kind of I'd be totally
cool. I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, $24 million is it's a lot for Buddy Hield.
Oh, a little much.
But, well,
yeah.
So Buddy's not going to get traded. That's fine. We'll figure it out this summer. Harrison Barnes, I would rather keep him if we can, if the Celtics want to give up a first-round pick and, like, two young guys, like Naismith, Williams, or Langford, two of those, and that trade exception, get off his contract, I could be convinced. I'm really interested in Robert Williams, honestly. Yeah, I think he's a really cool player.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty cool guy to pick up. Like, and I'm kind of on that boat. If it's just like Neesmith and a first, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But if they want to give me like Neesmith, Robert Williams, and a first, or Pritchard, Neesmith, and a first, or something like that, I'd probably be down with that. And I'm honestly like, people are kind of like poo-pooing the first round pick we'd get, but I honestly think like it could be a little like underrated.
Yeah. I want to say that I was on Robert Williams. As soon as the King Celtics connection started happening, I was like, I want Robert Williams. Yeah, like, he's the player that I want here. I think Robert Williams is their best center.
Yeah. From what I've heard, like they're starting to like value him a lot more.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't
seem, as they should.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like they want to give him up.
Yeah. He's not jumping at every like pump fake anymore, which is good, which is one of the key problems that he had before. Like, he's like more consistent in the paint. His effort is consistent now, that type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why Celtics, I feel okay. This isn't a hot take. Celtics fans might be the most delusional like fan base in the NBA.
More than the Jazz fans?
Really?
More than Jazz fans?
I don't know. That's tough.
Well, I think that's
Celtics,
a tough act to
the
follow.
Celtics always think that they're in it, that they're gonna get someone. Like Jazz, that's always a thing. They're always talking about, oh, we're gonna get Anthony Davis, or now it's we're gonna get Karl Anthony Towns, or now we're gonna get freaking Harrison Barnes for Romeo Langford and like a lobster roll. Like, who is Romeo Langford? Romeo Langford is nobody. Dude hasn't even played this year. Like, why do you keep talking about him? Like, no one. If he's good, awesome. I want every player to be good. But I don't want Romeo Langford for Harrison Barnes, a known commodity.
No.
Yeah. His injury, like, history is just a little too sketchy for me. If he's on top of somebody else, then cool. But, like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I would dig, like, Nesmith would be cool. Just because, like, his three-point shooting could develop and kind of replace a lot of what we'd lose if, like, we traded Buddy Hield. Plus, he's bigger, and his defense, I think, is underrated, honestly. I think he's actually, like, kind of becoming a pretty solid defender. And he's
Aaron Nesmith, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he's a
wing. Playing decent tonight.
He's yeah. Right. No, I think it'll take him a little while, but, like, I think he could develop into, like, a really solid, like, rotation player, which would be kind of cool. And he's a wing, which is dope.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Pritchard would be kind of dope because we need some, like, backup point guard action. And I think,
what do you mean? We have a great backup point guard. We love Kojo. He's so good.
They're not getting rid of Peyton Pritchard, man. They've got yeah. one white guy right now, and it's Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, they got Daniel Theis.
He's German.
totally
he's a white guy.
Yeah, he's a Euro. There's a difference between the white guy and the Euro player.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Euro white guys are good. The American white guys not good.
Yeah.
Peyton Pritchard is the white guy that the Celtics fan base needs to root for, especially now that they don't have Gordon Hayward.
Exactly.
I'm making a lot of enemies out of Celtics fans, and I don't care.
I mean, Boston is, like, the most racist city in America, surprisingly. So
who are they trying to trade to get DeMarcus Cousins? Was it, like, Al Horford in a second or something like that? That was ridiculous. It was
back in the day?
Like that. That was bad. Like, that's when we had Boogie, like, they're just – I just, okay.
I don't know, man. Just, okay, last little thing about this, because you said, like, possibly more delusional than Jazz fans. I'll never forget when I was working at the gym, there was a guy who was, like, on his way out, and he stopped to talk to, like, one of the other trainers, and he was a Jazz fan, and they were, like, talking about whatever, like, the Jazz or something. He's like, yeah, man, we're right there, like, all we got to do is just, like, trade for, like, LeBron James, and then we're, like, we're in it. And, like, he was, like, dead serious. And I was like, do you hear, like, what the fuck you're saying right now? Like, yeah, no shit. Like, if anyone could just trade for LeBron James, yeah, you'd be, like, a contender. But, like, do you really think LeBron James is going to the Jazz? Like that was maybe the most delusional Jazz fan moment I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Like,
the most racist fan base in the NBA, bro. Like, or is that really where he's going? Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
So, well,
yeah,
don't you guys remember my friend who I will not name, who said that if Rudy Gobert just could shoot like Kevin, or if he got a three pointer, he'd be better than Kevin Durant.
Just yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. Buddy.
Yeah.
I was innate about that.
Yeah. I still hold to the Jazz fan base being the most delusional. Boston could be up there, but Jazz, nothing, no one will ever overtake the Jazz delusion.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry guys, it's true.
Yeah,
for all those Jazz fans watching, it's just true, and you know it. Oh hell. Okay, any other Kings trades you guys want to talk about? Bielitsa potentially leaving for a second round pick, I think, is pretty likely to happen. Other than that, I don't think there's many other Kings trade rumors, but
it seems like a lot of teams are pretty into Bielitsa. I could even see him getting packaged with, like, a Barnes to get another young player or something like that.
Yeah,
which I might actually prefer, but
yeah, maybe like a Bielitsa and, like, Hassan Whiteside to someone who's trying to make the playoffs or something like that, or the play-in tournament or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently, could be good. I keep seeing, like, the Lakers are super interested in Whiteside. I think the Celtics actually are too.
Haylen Horton Tucker or bust. There's no chance. No chance. Maybe the Lakers are the most delusional. Yeah, I think I'm just bitter. But that's all right.
Such as
anyways, I think outside of moving Hassan Whiteside or Nemanja Bjelica, I don't think we're I think we're sticking to the core as it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jabari Parker could be packaged to.
Oh my gosh! I completely forgot about him.
LOL.
Oh.
Remember when he was just like all over the court in preseason, and he was just jumping and flying? Apparently,
that shit always happens every year. It's like preseason or you know summer camp or something, and it's like, yeah, they're like, oh hey, like this guy, you know, Scalabissiere really bulked up and he's looking pretty fit, like oh look out. And then it's like, no the fuck he's not, like he's still the same Scalabissiere, he's still the same black hole, like
yep,
yeah, that shit happens every summer.
Jason Thompson got a three-pointer all of a sudden, that was the rumor, that was like no he did not, he's still the same guy.
I will not accept Jason Thompson's slander here. That man did everything he could for Sacramento.
True.
He did everything he could. I have a lot of respect. He gave everything to the Kings, and then did he get cut or did he get traded?
He got traded to Philly in the Stauskas dump.
Oh, yeah, and then he got cut, I think, and then he played for played 2 minutes for Toronto or something like that.
Yeah, that fool, like, I don't think anybody – could have had worse luck as far as like getting drafted to the Kings at like a worse possible time. Like he literally suffered through like the darkest of like Sacramento Kings times. That poor
Did guy. He even play in the new arena, or was he gone by the time the G1C was built?
He was out by 2015. Yeah, so I think he was out when the new arena.
It wasn't built yet. No, you couldn't even see that. Oh,
yeah. Poor bastard. Yeah, that hurts.
I think he's been playing in China for a few years.
Yeah, he's been, I think, tearing it up in Europe or China or something like that for the last few years.
Basketball Reference says the last time he played was 2019 in China.
Okay.
So
I hope that him and Dante Green got to play in China together and just like bro it up.
Were they the goon squad?
Oh no, Jason Thompson just signed with the Shanghai Sharks.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe him and Jimmer can play together.
Jimmer is on that team, yeah.
Oh, I thought did he go back to China? I thought he went to like Europe or something.
He's back in China. Yeah.
China pays, man.
They love him out there.
Yeah, they're making a few million bucks a year.
I saw I think on Instagram the other day, like some Jimmer Fredette highlights popped up from like his BYU days. And like he was legit like Steph Curry before Steph Curry was Steph Curry. Like like just pulling up from like 15 feet behind the 3-point line and just doing absolutely ridiculous acrobatical like 3-point shots. And like he was pretty cool back in the day. Horrible draft pick, but he was cool.
Here's a question. What's the difference between Jimmer Fredette and Trae Young? Like neither can play any defense. Both are crazy shooters. I know like Trae could actually hit shots in the NBA, so maybe that's it.
Handle is hell of a lot better.
And court awareness.
Much better playmaker. Yeah, Jimmer was like an okay playmaker, but he wasn't like a traditional point guard or anything. He was kind of forced into being a point guard because of his size.
Yeah.
Well, they're both 6'1", right?
Yeah, but Trae's always been a point guard. Jimmer was not. He was a shooter in college. He could just cook and score. And
Yeah, I think. Yeah, they're different. Like, different handle. Trae's got, some of the best court awareness on the offensive side that in the NBA right now. Like, I stand by my statement that he was undeserving of a All-Star this year, but
Zach LaVine clearly earned it this year over him. I missed Jimmer when I was on my mission, so I didn't see anything that he ever did, and it doesn't sound like I missed much. So
he had a complimented games. Me on my shoes in church once.
Oh, that's right.
I will always hold on to that. It's one of the best things that's happened to me, honestly. I loved it.
For those watching who don't know, Jimmer Fredette went to the same Mormon church that S3 did back in the day, and that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool to see him.
Pretty cool. He always ducked out. Yeah, which I can't fault him for, like, one bit.
That would have been a shit show having to deal with that.
Oh, man. All right.
feel like we should probably wrap it up here soon. Anything else you guys want to talk about with Kings talk or trades?
I guess one last thing. Yeah, Nick had mentioned that that Celtics pick could be like underrated, which I agree with. Like, they're not playing super well this year. Like, their record's not awesome.
They're at like 500.
They're currently at pick number like 18 right now.
Yeah,
and I kind of see it staying around that same space unless they get somebody, unless they trade for somebody and all of a sudden they get really good, which could happen, but I don't know.
But I don't think like trading for like Harrison Barnes is gonna make them
changing dramatically. No,
yeah
I think it pushes them, it helps them a lot. I think
it helps them for the playoffs when they have to tighten up their rotations, I think. So
so I honestly I'm looking through prospects and stuff that'll be around that range. There is actually like a couple different guys who I think could be kind of dope with a mid to late first round pick, like BJ Boston, who coming into the season was supposed to be like a top three guy. Like, he was supposed to be like the next Brandon Ingram, basically 6'7", handles the ball, like pure shooter, that kind of thing. Went to Kentucky, but it just like did not work out. Like, he had a really bad season at Kentucky, but Kentucky was just horrible all around this year. So it's like, how much of that is him? How much of that is the program? Like, I don't know. But it's like, you get a guy with a natural top three talent for the 18th to 20th pick, and you can just develop him, just send him to the G League and kind of let him develop and everything for the next year or two. That could be a freaking steal. Jalen Johnson is another guy, pretty much similar thing, not as bad, but like, he was a top five guy coming out of high school, went to Duke, but Duke was like terrible this year too. So like, his stock's kind of dropped, but he's a 6'8" point forward, super good defender, rebounder, good size kind of guy who could be potential star in the league kind of thing. You have two top five potential guys who you could get for a mid first rounder. Like, that's like, that's pretty cool.
I like that. It's almost like the Harry Giles pick, where you kind of take a flyer on these guys that have fallen for one reason or another in the hopes that they live up to their previous hype.
Yeah. So I kind of look at like a Michael Porter Jr.
Yes.
But not like, yeah. But even like less of a risk because it's a little bit farther back.
Not injuries.
Yeah.
I haven't paid attention to the draft too much this year, but one player that I've kind of looked at who I think might, Nick, you can maybe confirm whether he'll be in this range or not. Scotty Barnes is someone that I'm really into.
He's
out of Florida State. Do you think
everything I've seen, he'll be like sixth or seventh pick?
Really?
Yeah. Like, he'll be like the guy that, like, if we don't get top five pick, like, he'll probably be the guy we get, kind of thing. Like, if we end up with the sixth or seventh pick, like, if he were to drop to like 18, like, that would be insane.
He's someone that even if we're okay, so my thought was like, okay, if we're in the like top 12 and he's there, like, I'm super interested in him. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just because I'm a sucker for the do it all, fill in the gaps kind of players. Like,
yeah,
just smart.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander.
That's everything.
Which was you were Alexander. Super high on.
Yeah, I loved him. Yeah. Man, he's just, it's hard to see a player who's that like that silky.
Yeah, you know,
like, not succeed at some level.
Yeah,
right, like, somehow it's just the game looks effortless. And I would say like Scotty Barnes puts in a lot of effort, but like, defensively it looks like he can, at times he's just doing whatever he wants and he's succeeding, which is something that really, really intrigues me.
If somehow he were to fall, like, that would just be like the steal of the draft. That would like surpass Halliburton steal type.
Yeah.
That would be nuts. Another guy that I think could be sweet around that range, if he's still there, is Isaiah Jackson, who is, I believe, the center for Kentucky, who I was like watching his film and stuff. And I kind of like, he's super long. He's like 6'10 with like a super long wingspan, like dummy athletic, really good shot blocker, super high motor guy. like kind of like Rashawn Holmes, but longer, not as like bulky, but longer, and kind of that super athletic high motor guy who could be a really cool, he's also a really good like rim running guy who can be, you know, your potential defensive anchor for the next 10 years or something like that. Like I think he'll be super dope. And then the last one I have on my list, I doubt he falls this far, but if he did, that would be super swag, because he kind of fits what Alvin said of like a do everything kind of guy. And that's Franz Wagner, which is Mo Wagner's brother.
Yeah, he's, I love that guy.
He's sick. Like, he's so sick. He's a wing. He's like 6'8", pretty bulky dude. Like, stupidly high IQ basketball player. Really good defender. Like, a great help defender and, like, a pretty solid, like, gritty on-ball defender. He can shoot really well. He can rebound. He can kind of just do a little bit of everything, and he'd be a really easy guy to root for if we landed him with like the 18th pick or something like that.
You know who he reminds me of? Lamar Odom.
That's interesting.
I think Lamar Odom's a good comparison for him.
That's
like
the
pre like downfall of Lamar Odom.
Stephen A. Smith, like, Lamar
Odom. The pre coked out Lamar Odom. Who is on crack?
Oh man, I hope he's doing well, and by all accounts, I think he is.
Like, I think so.
He deserves it. Whatever he's doing, like
LA Lakers, Lamar Odom was cool.
Yeah, I think he reminds me of him a lot. There's a little bit of a. Yeah, I'm just going to say that. That's the only player. I was going to say a little bit of Luke Walton, but he's a better scorer than Luke is.
Yeah.
Ever was. So.
So yeah. The way I see it, it's like, don't sleep on that pick, cuz I really think there could be some guys around that range or a potential guy who could have fallen to that pick who I think could be a diamond in the rough kind of guy. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get one of those guys, and then you get Robert Williams or Nesmith, I mean, that's a nice little core of young dudes to put around Fox and Halliburton.
And if you still get a top five pick, you get a Kuminga or somehow an Evan Mobley, like, you're set.
Yeah, and still Bagley if he ever is healthy. But,
yeah.
I think whatever happens with Bagley is like icing on the cake.
Yeah, it's a bonus. Yeah,
that's a bonus for sure.
Yeah, I'm not waiting up for him at this point. I hope he does well. I want to see him contribute and be a part of this team, but
yeah,
let's see.
Cool. Well, I like that, Nick. I mean, it would be nice to snag one of those guys if possible.
I'd be so hyped.
I guess we'll see what the Celtics throw at the Kings. Hopefully it's a good little package.
But hopefully Danny Ainge is getting desperate.
Oh, I'm sure he is, because they are not looking that good right now. I mean, we just beat them.
Yeah.
Without any bench.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, we beat them. We're like six deep right now, or seven deep.
Not even. We have five starters, and that is it.
Yeah.
We have zero bench. Come on,
we
man.
Gave a lot of minutes to JJ. Like,
which is cool. I'm cool with that. I'm like, that's cool. Like, good for him. Like, get some minutes, man.
I forget what that's like to have a rookie where it's just like, okay, he's got to play through it. Like, he's got to play through these things and that type of thing. Well, I guess I'm thinking about Marvin Bagley too, but
yeah.
I mean, and the Celtics are healthy now. They have Smart back, Kemba's playing. Like, they don't have any excuses anymore. They still don't have it. I mean, they didn't have it with Kyrie Irving. There's just still something weird about that team where they are just not succeeding the way they should be.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think part of it is that Kemba is just like not playing as well as he was before coming to the Celtics, and even like halfway through his first season, like, he was playing awesome, and that's kind of fallen off. And
they need an actual center, like a true.
Yeah,
they just need to play Robert Williams.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's quite ready yet for that. He's dope, but for a team like them who's like has championship like expectations, I don't know if he's quite.
Not this year though. They're not ready this year. That's clearly.
Like they, if they had like a like a legit, like if they had like Rashawn Holmes on that team, like they would probably be pretty good.
I've been thinking about that. If they had Holmes and Barnes to fill in those gaps, they would look nice.
They'd have to give us a nice haul. But like if they did that, they would be a very good team. Like they would probably be like that would change everything for them, I think.
All right. So if we gave them Barnes and Holmes and they gave us the pick or the exception, and then a pick and Nesmith and Williams, is that enough or do you need like another asset?
Rashawn Holmes is in like every one of the Kings' best lineups.
Yeah, I would want another asset.
It's him, Halliburton, and Fox.
Those
are the best players on the team right now.
Underrated.
Like, he's still underrated. Yeah. Here's the, going back to the Timberwolves, this reminds me of the Timberwolves because I had all this pointed out. Karl Anthony Towns might be the most underrated player in the NBA. That's another hot take. I'm going to say that right now.
People forget how absurdly good he is.
Off the dome. Well, I have it written down. Hang on. We're coming to this. All right. So, Kat, right now, since like this season, but like all of this season, basically, 23 points per game, 10 boards, 4 assists, 1.5 blocks per game, 50, 35, 80% shooting.
Jeez. That's good.
And he's getting more touches. Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Dude's great. He's going to be awesome. Anyways, going back to whatever we were talking about. I'm sorry.
Going back to your secret favorite team, the Timberwolves. Your guilty pleasure.
Well, I've been invested since I had that take I won't mention. I've had to pay attention and figure out, okay, why did I think this way?
Because you love Rubio.
I love Rubio, but I saw something happening. I saw
your irrational obsession with Ricky Rubio.
I saw things happening. You know, and there are things a brewing.
Oh, they're a brewing. The north.
Yeah. You know, they're not Bruins, they're Wolves, but okay. Things are moving ahead in the north.
If they get the top pick this year, then I will definitely say, yeah, things are a brewing. Because they'll have a young core that's pretty ridiculous. Because Karl Anthony Towns is what, like 24? Like he's not that old.
Yeah.
He's like 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, him with Cade Cunningham and Anthony Edwards would just be absurd.
Yeah. I would say also that team has been like combination of just not very – last thing I'll say, not very good coaching until this point. Like the coaching looks better. But it's also like Karl Anthony Towns has just been devastated this year.
Yeah, he's not had like, a good time.
He's everything. Had a bad year. And you can't fault him for anything, any type of struggles that he's been having. Like you can't even use any of the nicknames that we've given him in the past. Like you can't say those.
He gets a pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also him and D'Lo haven't played like at all. Like I've what, heard. Maybe 10, 15 games. They've just been injured all the time.
I forgot D'Lo's even on that team. Honestly,
D'Lo hasn't been very good.
No, not since the Nets.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not been very impressive. Yeah. And there's, I think there's something to it that the team has improved since he's been injured. So anyways, I digress.
Well, any other hot takes or thoughts you guys want to share before we end this episode? Going once, going twice.
Nick, you got something?
I got nothing.
Your eyes are moving, man.
I'm like trying to think of something.
He's thinking something.
Yeah. There's nothing brewing up here right now. There's nothing brewing.
I think said it all.
Yeah.
I think the Magic are gonna make a trade.
They have to do something.
They have to. Yeah. They've been on
I think Aaron Gordon's gone. And I think they should trade Vucevic. I think they really should. They shouldn't make the mistake that the Kings did by waiting too long to trade DeMarcus Cousins. Just, he's an all-star right now. Trade him while his value is high and just start over, because it's not working. It's not working.
Not working, Jerry.
Not working, Jerry. Something's missing. Oh, the magic. Okay, well, I think that is a wrap for tonight. Thanks for everyone who tuned in for this week's episode of the Bev Boys Basketball Broadcast. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and like, and we'll see you next week. And you guys have a nice night.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
as well.
Good show.
Y'all stay sweet and go Kings.
Go Kings, baby.